Today's scripture verses are from John chapter 6, verses 30 to 36. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." This is the Lord's word.
Thank you. You may be seated, and kids may be dismissed to Kids Kirk.
Well, as many of you know, Wednesday marked the beginning of the Lenten season, and as is the case, we're going to be taking a break from our regular preaching series to focus our attention on Lent, to be reminded of the seriousness of our sin and the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. And we'll do this as we make our way to Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. And so we're going to be encouraged not to give things up that we probably shouldn't be doing anyway, but be encouraged to be thoughtful and reflective on our sin, to turn from that sin in repentance, and to trust in the one who came to defeat sin and the eternal spiritual death that we deserve for our sin, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, our Savior and Lord, Messiah, Jesus Christ. I know that some of you are a bit disappointed to take a break from Acts because we were on a roll and we just got started, it seemed like, but I think you will appreciate this year's Lenten series. Beginning today, we're looking at the seven I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John, and we're going to take them in order, which means we arrive this morning at John chapter 6, where John Donaldson has just read from us, so I invite you to open your Bibles to chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, where we hear the first of these self-designations by Jesus. He declares to us the very familiar, "I am the bread of life." So as we're going to see on Good Friday, there are some other I am statements by Jesus in this gospel, the Gospel of John, but these seven are a bit distinct because of the grammatical construction that John uses, distinguishing them from the others. Usually translated "I am" plus the predicate, or occasionally "it is I." Perhaps we might read more literally as I am, or "I am I am." A Greek reader would see this and would hear a relationship between these statements and the I am, the personal covenant name of God from the Old Testament. We often see that designated in our Bibles as Yahweh or Jehovah or Lord with all capital letters. So for you English grammar aficionados, we have this pronoun and then we have this emphatic verb plus the predicate, which for today is bread of life. I am the bread of life, used by Jesus to name himself. He names himself. He gives himself a title. And so for us as Christians, these statements are not only beautiful, but they are full of theological meaning. So let's thank God for this season that reminds us of his great love for us in sending his Son to die for our sin. And let's ask him to speak to us now through these seven special statements of Jesus in John's gospel. Pray with me. Father, we give you thanks for this time of worship, and we confess that our hearts are not really prepared. Our hearts are fickle. Our minds are a factory of idols, and we're hungry, and we're thirsty, and we have parched souls. And so enable us this morning to taste and see that you are good, and that we would hunger and thirst first after righteousness. So work through the reading and the preaching of your word and point all of us to Jesus Christ, that we might be satisfied in him, above all. This is what we pray for, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are so many great themes in the Gospel of John, and even just in chapter 6, that once again I was kind of inspired this week to keep telling myself, you just got to preach through the Gospel of John, which I have not done. And unfortunately, that happens so often, and I'm old enough that I've realized I'm never going to make it through all the parts of the Bible that I would like to preach in my lifetime. But John chapter 6 is fantastic. I can't take time to cover the complete context of Jesus' I am the bread of life statement because it's large. Begins back in verse 22 and goes all the way toward the end. And most scholars, commentators, theologians don't even agree on where it begins and where it ends. But it is a reminder, or as a reminder for you, there are two miracles that have preceded where we are in our book of John this morning. There was the feeding of the 5,000 just before us in chapter 6 of John, where Jesus takes these 5 loaves of bread and these 2 fish, and he multiplies them to feed somewhere in excess of 10,000 men, women, and children. It's a very, very public miracle. Forgotten after that is some of the discussion of the people in the crowd who, being the beneficiaries of this miracle, want to take Jesus directly to Jerusalem on the spot, make him the king, only to wake up and find him missing the next morning. He's not there. And the reason Jesus is not there is, unknown to the crowds, he has slipped away. And he's been walking on water. He's been walking on the Sea of Galilee to meet the disciples in a boat full of experienced fishermen who are stranded in the middle of the lake in the midst of a squall. The second miracle. So we are coming right from the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on the water. The crowds are looking for Jesus to crown him as king. And Jesus, recognizing that not only are the aspirations of the crowds not God's will, but they're wrongly motivated. The people are impressed by Jesus because of what he did, not because of who he is. They are impressed by what he did, not because of who he is. And we see that in the passage right before the one that John read for us this morning. So let me read a little bit from chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now the question that they're really asking is, how did you get here? Because earlier John tells us that the crowds had observed the disciples leaving in the boat the night before without Jesus, and they knew that there were no other boats. They left in the one and only boat. Jesus, as he often does, cut straight to the matter at hand, not answering their question, but saying instead, verse 26, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. And here comes the key statement for our passage. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So Jesus' words to the crowds seeking to make him king because they can benefit from his miracle working parallel what we hear, especially from Paul, in the New Testament, who similarly says in Ephesians 2, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. So Jesus is saying, seek not the things of this temporal world, but seek the things that lead to eternal life. And what is that thing? It is believing in him. Believing in him, Jesus Christ, is the one God sent to accomplish the work of securing eternal life for us. Do not think you can earn your own salvation, or even more specifically, do not think that by being a good person, even with a tacit acknowledgement of who Jesus is, will get you into heaven. Justification before God and an eternal rest with him come only by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ is not the giver of good stuff in this life exclusively. And by that, I don't mean that all things do not come from him, all good things, because they do. But that is not primarily what he is about, giving us good things. He is the giver of eternal life in the next. This crowd would be wooed by the prosperity gospel, wouldn't they? They'd like that. They're anxious to take whatever they can get from Jesus, this miracle worker. They like the prospect of discovering all that he can do for them. And they're anxious to take whatever they can get. So they say in response to this amazing declaration of Jesus at verse 30, what we started with this morning, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now keep in mind, the crowd just earlier had called Jesus Rabbi. But he has no authority from the religious leaders of his day, right? By now, those religious leaders are starting to conspire against him. His perceived authority is his command of the scriptures and his ability to apply them consistently and directly to the people. Everyone who hears his teaching is amazed. But when Jesus tells the adoring crowds that they are seeking after the wrong things, immediately they want a sign. They want a sign to authenticate this message. Right after they had witnessed the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 and somehow managed to get from one side of the lake to the other without a boat. What are you going to do for us, they're saying, so that we will know you are a prophet like Moses? Now, John doesn't tell us that they are asking Jesus specifically to compare himself to Moses. But between the bread and the fish miracle and Jesus' own words on food that perishes versus food that leads to eternal life, the people are thinking about Moses. They're thinking about the manna from heaven that came down to the people of Israel back in Exodus 16 when they were wandering in the desert. In other words, the people say to Jesus that if he is promising food better than what Israel received in the manna from the desert, which even though it came miraculously, eventually spoiled, then Jesus better be able to prove he could do something better than that. And they want to see it. But like the woman back in chapter 4 of John's gospel who wanted the water that would allow her to stop taking trips back and forth from the well, the people fail to realize that it is not the thing that Jesus can give that is the prize. It's Jesus himself. Jesus is the living water. Here he says, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. I thought that was interesting. We know that people don't quite get it, and I'm not sure we would either. We too would probably be enamored by the promise of the thing, right? Give us this bread from heaven. But one of the things we struggle most with in life is finding meaning in life. Part of this is that our Western culture puts so much emphasis and thus identity in our jobs, our vocations. But our job is just an example of food that perishes. Yeah, it's necessary to put food on the table, so to speak. But as we get older, we come to realize that life is more than this. And we speak of the regrets that we have with what we did, not with our jobs so much, but with our time. We look back with regret at the waste of our time. We don't want our lives to have been marked by things that in the end show themselves to have been empty. Now, don't get me wrong, not all of us have jobs that strike us as meaningless work or meaningless from a kingdom perspective. We need to work. We need to provide for ourselves. The Bible tells us not to be idle. Those of you who've been doing table talk and just finished 1 Thessalonians will remember that. But time is a precious gift of God, and we are to be good stewards of our time. We do not want to look back in our lives and ask why we wasted so much time, why we wasted so much energy on things that had little or no value, right? And when we put our energies behind the things of the world, bread that perishes, we end up asking ourselves, is that it? Is that all there is? And when we get to verse 35, Jesus gives them the answer to the question they are not asking. He transitions from the material bread the crowds are seeking to himself. So he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So just like those of us who are searching for meaning in the things of the world, thinking that our jobs, but maybe not our jobs, there's all kinds of things, right? We are idol factories in our hearts and our minds. Things of the world like our hobbies or our favorite sports teams or our obsessive whatever, obsessive working out or our elusive raise in income that we think is going to make us happy, that car, that boat, that house on the right side of town. Those of us who are seeking pleasure in these things or other things, sex, whatever it might be that we pursue with passion, but in the end does not satisfy and leaves us asking, is that it? The people have been exposed to Jesus' teaching. They have seen his miracles. But they still do not believe. So believe. Reorient your life around this bread. Jesus. He is the bread of life. And look at verse 34. This is not bread you need to keep getting. This bread is for all time. Once you have truly received this bread, you will never be hungry again. So, brothers and sisters, we must be moving closer and closer to the truth about Jesus, that we came to put aside our desires, our interests, in other things. And this is hard for us because we have lots of interest in other things. And there are so many other things that distract us from keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. But can it be said about me or about you that we're taking comfort in a free ticket to heaven through Jesus, but are still pursuing the things of this world? Or are we really invested in the things that have eternal value? So the text begs the question then, after having been exposed to Jesus, having heard his teaching, and even having witnessed his miracles, why do these people still not believe? Why do they still not believe? We can ask, and we often do ask, the same thing today. Why do people not believe? Jesus tells us, beginning in verse 36. The answer is that short of being called by God through the Holy Spirit, people cannot believe. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus accomplished. Jesus accomplished the salvation for those whom the Father has called to belong to him. He does not say, all who come to me, the Father will give me. It's not what he says. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Those of us who believe are gifts to the Son from the Father for all eternity. The right question for us to ask is, why did he call me? And we should be asking because we know that there's nothing about us commendable in and of ourselves to God. But yet, in his grace, he has called us. And he's called us to live a life of worship and a life that is invested on things of eternal value. Not the bread of this world, but the bread of life, Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, we seem to always be hungry. And so we are often running about looking for the things that we can eat that we think will satisfy this hunger that we have inside us. We run to our work, to our relationships, to money, to things, to satisfy our hunger, and yet you have provided for the needs of your people in Christ alone. You have provided the bread of life, the bread of heaven. And so humble our hearts and help us to drink deeply this day and to eat deeply this day of your goodness to us in Jesus Christ. Move us closer to him. We pray this in his name. Amen.
And as a response to the preaching of God's timeless and everlasting word, I invite all to rise in heart or body and join in singing as we turn to hymn number 274 and sing, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Thank you.
Amen. So speaking of 1 Thessalonians, hear this benediction from chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Amen. Go in peace.